I came to give life with joy and abundance. From John chapter 10, verse 10. And from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, show sincere love to each other, because love brings about the forgiveness of many sins. Open your homes to each other without complaining, and serve each other according to the gift each person has received as good managers of God's diverse gifts. Whoever speaks should do so as those who speak from God's word. Whoever serves should do so from the strength that God furnishes. Do this so that in everything God may be honored through Jesus Christ. To him be honor and power forever and always. Amen. And from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hate stirs up conflict, but love covers all offenses. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Shannon. And you may all be seated. Well, I want to welcome you to the first message in a series called Abundant. And in this series, we are taking as our theme the verse, the very first verse that Shannon shared with us, the second half of John 10:10, where Jesus says, I came to bring life with joy and abundance. That's a promise, friends. That's a promise that Jesus gives to all who believe, all who commit to Jesus and to a transformed life. We have a name for that transformed life. We call that eternal life. See, eternal life is something in addition to the promise that we have life with God after we physically die. There's also that quality of life that we are able to experience right now. And that quality of eternal life, well, we call that the abundant life. And in this series, we are going to be looking at different facets of what it means to enjoy the abundant life and how to share that abundant life with others. Now, to help us with that, I want you to take our fine enlarged placemats that we have for bulletins today, which is awesome, really, I think, for our kids. There's just a lot of way you can do art on the back. And thank you, gentlemen in the media, for bringing that up. I want to lift up that our little logo here has meaning for all of us here. You saw how that figure came together in the animation right before the scripture was read. That's known as a Trinity knot. And that Trinity knot, it's hard to see perhaps on the screens here, although at home you should be able to see it clearly. But on your bulletins today, you'll notice that there are four colors that are part of that Trinity knot. You've got green, you've got purple, and you've got red, and then you've got white. And the green within that Trinity knot represents our growth and our transformation in God. The purple represents our need to constantly turn to God, to repent to God, because we frequently fall outside of God's will. We call that sin. And so we are constantly encouraged to turn back to God in repentance. That's what the purple means. And then red is the color of life and also the color for the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us always. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's all about us, but what about God? Well, this is God too. We remember and we think of God as a three in one, that mystery of Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. To get into the specifics of what Trinity means, well, that's a sermon for another time. But for today, I just want to say that this Trinity knot tells us who God is. It reminds us of who we are and how God works through our lives. Now, something else that's really important, you'll see those words, mind, body, and spirit. Because in the abundant life, our mind, body, and spirit are all impacted in that way. And these reflect ways that we connect with God too. Mind means that God's wisdom works through our minds so that we can have understanding, new perspectives in the midst of the trials of life, that we're able to see God's presence through everything that we experience. Body means the body of Christ. We are individually and all together the body of Christ, and we are the hands and feet of Christ. And so we're able to share love, we're able to share that abundant life with others. And finally, Spirit means the Holy Spirit that is always with us. That's God's presence working through us. And so anytime that you get your bulletin or you see this on the screen, know that these symbols are full of meaning to help us to learn about the abundant life. Now, what we're going to learn about in the abundant life over the next several weeks, we're going to learn about how we can be courageous in our faith. We're going to learn about what it means to share our hope in Jesus Christ in the midst of all things, especially in the midst of suffering. We're going to be able to discuss and talk about how we can lay claim to the joy we have in our lives, to embrace that joy and to share that joy with others. And today, as we've said over and over, we are all about the love and how we can even foster greater love in our walk with Jesus Christ. So far, so good. So let's start talking about the love. We know all about love, don't we? Love between two lovers, that erotic love, eros. The love between family and friends, that filio love that is there, that brotherly love, that sisterly love that we have with those that are close. And then there's also that wonderful love that we know as agape love. And that's the love that is connected with God and how we love in such a way that we put others first. And we serve others. All these forms of love are what are given to us as we express how we are to share. So I look through our scripture today. I'm thinking about how all these actions are spoken of in our Bible, all these facets of love, because in the Bible, it's filled with relational anxieties and dysfunctional relational dynamics, right? Even the very first book in the Bible, Genesis. How many of you read Genesis all the way through? You got beyond in the beginning? And you got through all the begat stuff? Well, as you get into Genesis, especially in chapter 12, when you get into the story of the patriarchs, of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and, boy, all of his wives, and then all Joseph and his brothers, you are exposed to how people are. But in all those ways, we also see where God's love is also. And it's there, friends, where we see where the Old Testament shares wisdom with us. Proverbs 10:12 is a powerful verse, isn't it? Hate stirs up conflict. Hate stirs up conflict, but love covers all offenses. Now, when I think of those words of wisdom, what I think about, friends, is that what the teacher is trying to convey is the disposition of our hearts. When it comes to hate, we are locked into one perspective, the perspective of hate. We can't see beyond any other perspectives. We know what's going on, and the only way that we can express ourselves is to stir up conflict. Whereas love frees our hearts from hate so that we can see other perspectives and we can share love with others. 1 John 4:19. Shares with us that we love because God first loved us. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke share with us that great commandment, which is all about the love. See if you could say this with me. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then in John's gospel, we have those beautiful words, greater love has no person than to give their life for a friend. Friends, we know all about love, don't we? Well, as followers of Jesus Christ, not only are we to know about love, but we are to know love, and we are called to love and called to foster love. And we are called in that way because we need that call. We need that call to remind us that we are all about the love. Today, I want to share a little bit about what it means to love in Christian community, because it could be easy to say, well, we are Christians and we are called to love and we are to go out into the world and share love with others and bring others to Jesus. But we're also called to love one another within the church. In fact, I would say if we cannot love one another within the church, then we're going to struggle if we're going to reach out and love beyond. Doesn't that make sense? There was a Facebook post that struck my heart this week. It really tugged on it. And it was from an old friend of mine who's also Christian, who's also a minister. And the post has to do with talking about a relationship that my friend has with another fellow Christian. And he gave me permission, and because I just wanted to share it with you all. He says, I lost a friend, not to death, but to misunderstanding. I was just the messenger and got the brunt of the anger for the message. I had taken bullets for this friend, defended him without his knowing, even asked his forgiveness for what I didn't do. But he has slammed the door. Now I'm going to stop here. Have you experienced those kind of emotions before? Boy, I have. Where you're in a relationship with someone and something has happened and there just seems like there is no other way that you're going to be able to connect. It seems like there's no other way that it's possible for you to reconcile with this person. I just want us to realize that. That's a very real thing. It is that way out in the world. It is that way with our family and friends. But it is that way within our churches as well. Just read a survey where right now, less than half people in the United States are members of churches. They still claim the Christian faith, but 49% of people will claim that they belong to a church. There's some broken relationships going on there. And we know of people that have been hurt within there. We are called to love. The relational dynamics of relationships between Christians and churches, well, that fills the letters in the New Testament from the apostles. We see it in Paul, we see it in Timothy, we see it in Peter. Peter's letter is a beautiful letter. If you haven't read it yet, I want to encourage you to go home and read that whole letter. It is a letter where Peter is encouraging followers of Jesus Christ to build community together, to live lives of integrity, to be real in how they follow Jesus, and to also be able to rejoice and share hope, even in the midst of suffering, because it's not easy to be a Christian. Amen? And that's what Peter is trying to share with us. But through it all, what Peter is really trying to do is he's saying, love each other. Before we get to the scripture that Shannon shared with us today, Peter had already encouraged his church to love each other three times before we got to the passage today. You know what? I'm thinking love is important, don't you? It's important for Peter. And so then we come to our passage here, and I love what's stated here. What Peter is saying is, he's talking to the community. He says, above all, before all things, sincerely love each other. Love each other deeply. So I'm going to ask a question. I hope it's not really a convicting question, but it may be. I know sometimes it is with me. It's situational. Do you sincerely love one another? Do you love each other deeply? Or do you feel like you're strangers gathered together? Peter challenges us to love each other deeply. And then Peter will then quote Proverbs 10:12. He says, show sincere love to each other. And in just about every other Bible translation, it says, because love covers all offenses. But I love the way that the CEB says it. He says, because love brings about the forgiveness of many sins. And I like how that's expressed there. Love is forgiveness of sins. That's what it means to cover all offenses. It doesn't mean that we just blow off any kind of harm that has come to us. It means that love empowers us to forgive. And I think Peter is thinking that we should be able to do that in the church if we sincerely love each other, because it's easier to forgive people if we love them, right? Think about that. I think that makes sense. There are certain things that a stranger can say to you that you take offense to, but if somebody that you love said that thing to you, you might be a little bit more understanding because you know and you love that person. Even though that might hurt, you still are able to deal with it within your relationship because you know them. My grandkids, as I've shared with you before, believe that I am in a human amusement ride. And we, what can I say? I aid them in that perception. We run all around as far as these little legs of mine can take me, and we do all sorts of fun things. But they are fascinated by my girth. Now, I tell them, you're going to miss it when it's gone, because I'm working on letting it go. But they get a little fascinated by it, and what they do is they get a little rough, because they think this is a drum. So there'll be times where it's like, boom, boom, bum-ba-dum, 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 or something like that. But they won't just, lightly tap. Those little kids, they just put their whole body into a punch sometimes. And what happens is, ouch, but I love them. And they can pull my hair. They can kick my shins. They can punch my belly. But I'm going to forgive them because I love them. Now, some random person came up and did those same things. It would take a lot more effort to do that. But we're even called to even try to do that, aren't we? To love people beyond that. You see, the thing about love is that love allows us to endure in our relationships. But more than that, it opens up our hearts so that we can see beyond the confines of what we think and to be able to consider other people and what they think and who they are. When we are loving, it's all about the relationship, and it's not about being right. It's about being whole. Now, it doesn't mean that we take abuse from people. And women and men who are abused, I want you to hear this. This doesn't mean that you just automatically forgive people and keep on taking abuse. That's not what I'm saying here. If you are abused, you need to get away from that abuser, because love isn't happening and you need to get away. So hear me clearly there. But what love can do is love can open up our hearts in an amazing way. Peter would share with the churches that here's how you can share this love that you have. If you're struggling to find out how you are to to share this love? Well, do this. Offer hospitality. And I love what Peter says here. He says, open up your homes to each other without complaining. How does he know? How does he know that we don't like people invading our castle? That this is our private space and we like it messy as it is. We're afraid of being judged. But Peter would say, offer hospitality anyway. Be open always to others, especially to your Christian brothers and sisters, your fellow followers of Jesus Christ. And then Peter shifts into sharing and giving of themselves. They're to serve within their gifts that the Holy Spirit has given them. They are to speak as though they're speaking God's word. And they serve with the strength that God furnishes. This is what Peter says, church, this is how you share love. So church, is this how you're sharing love? Are you serving others somewhere at the food pantry? Some have served in other ministries around. Some ministries that we've had here, like the Wednesday night dinners, we're not able to do. But that doesn't prevent us from finding different ways to serve people. There is always an opportunity, isn't there? An opportunity to serve out of love. It's not like you're supposed to take a break. Christianity, following Jesus Christ, committing to Jesus Christ, is not just a head thing. It is a heart thing. And we can't do everything. We have limitations. But with God, nothing is impossible. And so we're encouraged to serve one another. It's not easy. Sometimes we're able to serve other people and it feels good. I want to thank those that have signed up to provide meals for the Jacobs family. That's amazing. They're going to get a lot of pizza, what I heard. But it's awesome. 2 weeks worth of meals and you all were faithful and signed up for that. So thank you from my heart to you for serving in that way. Well, this is what we need to do all the time for others. If you guys don't know, little Jake was at Children's Mercy with COVID pneumonia, and his papa had COVID too. And so they're healing. What's that? Yeah, they're all home, which is praise God. But they appreciate the meals that you're providing too as they're adjusting to home. So I just want to say thank you for that. But I also want to lift up that it isn't always easy. When you serve others in love, when you extend your heart in love, when you give, when you serve, it's not always going to be appreciated. Know that you're doing that and you might want to have that affirmation. It ain't going to necessarily happen. But you share love anyway. I want to go back to my friend's post again. He said, I lost a friend, not to death, but to misunderstanding. I was just the messenger and got the brunt of the anger for the message. I've taken bullets for this friend, defended him without his knowing, even asked forgiveness for what I didn't do, but he has slammed the door. It's painful losing a friend, but in the end, you can't make people forgive you or like you or be your friend. You can just be the best friend you can be. The rest is up to them. Goodbye, friend. I'm here if you need me. I appreciate the transparency of my friend in sharing that. But what I most love is the grace that's offered there. That my friend is open to building that relationship back. Friends, love, you can't have an abundant life without it. And God gives us wisdom in all the situations of life where we can share that love. And in love, we can become the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in serving them. And always, always in love, the Holy Spirit is leading us forward. Consider how you can share love in this world each and every day, not just every once in a while, but where you're open to the Spirit and the Spirit nudges you to help another, especially within the body of Christ. If only because if we're not able to love one another within, we're not going to be able to love one another without. They're both important. They're both necessary. But what an amazing world it would be if we truly would know to love one another. When we do this, we give honor and power to the Lord our God. It is in His glory that we love. And all God's people said, Amen.